Thank you for listening to the Streams Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. We are a community that strives to know Jesus and make him known. If you like our podcast, subscribe and leave us a great rating on Apple Podcasts. Thank you, and we hope you enjoy.
We're talking about today our faith. This is the last portion we're going to go through in the book of James. I'm sure many pastors were talking about this year and 2020 vision and what God was going to do. And we had all these plans and businesses came before the people in their business and said, this is our vision and our goals and our mission statement for this year. And everything they said within a week or two radically changed. And what they thought might happen didn't happen or would happen. And nobody, and I mean nobody, foresaw what we've been through in this year. And I think one of the things that happens is we get a little cautious and fearful of now really what it is an uncertain future. All of a sudden, there was a sudden halt to schools, to churches, to businesses. We were just shut down, concerts. And most of the plans, I would almost say all the plans that people had for 2020 were set aside, tossed in the trash can. And if there's anything that's true about this pandemic, it's one of the things that tells us none of us really know the future. We don't know the future. What's going to happen tomorrow, more or less next year or next month, or in the coming week. A year ago, nobody could have imagined how different our lives would be right now, how different our church is right now. Now, to be a human being is to live your entire life not really knowing from week to week what's going to happen, or the future is unknown, the future is uncertain, the future is unpredictable. And actually, God's Word speaks about it over and over and over again. For instance, in Ecclesiastes 8:7, it says this, no one knows what will happen in the future, and there's no one who can tell us. And so the only one that knows, and I think God did this on purpose, the future, your future, our lives, is God. He is beyond time. And he understands. And I can only imagine that God sitting up there when we're January and February going, 2020 vision. He's like, you guys have no idea, have no clue about what's going to happen. We have this longing to know our days, to know the future. That's why movies like Back to the Future we love so much, because it's like going forward and coming back. And remember in number two, Back to the Future, they got a sports almanac, and then they went back and they were able to win all the bets and stuff like that. So knowing the future, we're enamored by it. And Satan uses this longing in us to really deceive in many ways. So like psychics and fortune tellers and horoscopes, I just want to let you know they're all fake. Because if it was true, right, here's what you say to something like that. If you're a psychic, how come you haven't won the lottery yet? Right? How come you don't? I mean, why do you need my credit card? You should know my credit card number, right? To charge me the fees. And these are tricks of the enemy to get people involved in such things, because we so desperately want to know our future. So today, as we end the study where James tells us to have faith in the face of an uncertain future, how to face it with confidence. So I'm going to talk to you today about four mistakes that people make. But before we get going, let me read James chapter 4. This is the portion of scripture we're talking about. It says, now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why? You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. And James likes to cut to the chase. He likes to just be the bold truth. And these five verses that James talked about just give us a lot of understanding about some of the mistakes that we make when it comes to the future. We make mistakes in planning for the future. We're presumptuous about the future. we procrastinate about the future, and then mistakes we need about preparing for the future. So we're going to talk about those four things. The problem number one that I've seen people make all the time is we make plans without asking God. And listen, this is the voice version of the Bible, chapter 4 of James. Listen carefully, those of you who make your plans and say, notice this, we are traveling to this city in the next few days. We'll stay there for 1 year while our business explodes and revenue is up. The reality is you have no idea where your life will take you tomorrow. And we look at those verses and we say, you know what? Coming up with a good business plan, that's a good thing to do. Knowing what you're going to do. And so these guys are coming up with all kinds of things, right? They're saying in their business, when are we going to do it? Business plan has a good time frame. And they said, today or tomorrow, we're going to do this. Where are we going to do this? Where are we going to have our business? Well, it'll be in this city and in that city. So they had a specific place in their business plan. Where are we going to go? We're going to go to that city. How long? Well, we're going to stay there a year. And what's the purpose? We're going to make money. This is a great business plan. In fact, the book of Proverbs says some of these very things are good things. It's good to have it. When we started Streams, we took a year to really plot out. Jason Backus and I, we really prayed. Annie and his wife, my wife, we came together. We looked at the places we could go. We drove. We prayed. You know, we tried to figure out. We had a plan, right? This is what we think the church should look like. This is where we want to minister. This is how we want to do it. This is where we want to do it and when we want to do it. In Psalm 105, I had a dream one night when I was praying whether I should do it. It was a whole month. In Psalm 105, I was reading the scripture. And all of a sudden, God woke me up. I just woke up, and it was so burdened on my heart that I read the scripture. And the scripture is about how God protected Israel as they came out of the promised land and went to a new place. And I knew that's what God was speaking to us. Here's verse 43. Some of you know the story, but I want to read this. He goes, he brought his people out with rejoicing, his chosen ones with the shouts of joy. He gave them the lands of the nations, and they fell heir to what others had toiled for, that they might keep his precepts and observe his laws. And in fact, when this building came up and this land came up, we went back to Psalm 105, and this very scripture said that God gave them lands and places that they didn't have to toil for, that they didn't have to work for. And it was a confirmation, because back then, this was the middle of nowhere, and now we see homes coming all around. God used Psalm 105. The problem was not that these guys had a business plan. They excluded God from the conversation. We will. Did you notice all those in this? We're going to do this. And four times he says, we will do this. We're going to do that. We will do this. We will. There's nothing about God's will. It's just about his will. And I know a lot of Christian business people, they make decisions based solely on the logical sense or the paper, black and white. And if you did that this year, you're going to be way off in your business. But the problem isn't that making good. The problem is you got to invite God into your plan. Otherwise, you just act like atheists when it comes to the work. And I've seen people that separate their worlds. This is my business world. This is my spiritual world. And they don't intermix. And that's the biggest problem that people make when they're making plans. They don't invite God into the process. When I started this church, with 45 people, I came out and met with every pastor. I felt like God had told me to do that. And at that time in 2004, Goodyear was a hotbed. Like every denomination out there was sending somebody to Goodyear because it was growing so fast, the West Valley. And so I would talk to several guys, and there were two different types of people that I talked to. There were those who say, you know what? The denomination thinks it's a great idea. Our church thinks it's a great idea. I was next up to bat. I'd been trained for this, so they sent me out there because it was a good plan to plant a church in a growing area. Then there were guys that sort of talked like me, like I prayed, God spoke to me in a very powerful word, and I came out. When 2008 hit, almost to a person, the ones who came out with a good business plan are no longer there. And the ones that came out with, God called me in my heart, stood the test of time. And see, when hard times hit and you only have a good business plan, you're going to run. But when hard times hit and you have a word from God, that's when you stick. Because you know that this is beyond, right? God is beyond this moment. And I just have found that to be true. And so the answer to this problem is this. Involve God in your planning. Can we go to the next slide there? Let's see that. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Listen, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. He says three things here, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Like, know that His way is the best way. Lean not into your own understanding. It has nothing, black and white's good to look at, but don't lean on that. Don't let that be the deciding factor of everything you do. And then submit to Him. When you look at everything, you hear His voice, submit to Him. And if you do that, as you go forward in the future, He'll direct your path. See, don't you want God on your side when it comes to this stuff? Right? As you're planning, don't you want Him to help guide you and direct you? But it takes you not leaning on your own understanding. It takes you trusting in Him. And then it takes you submitting to what He's asking you to do. And it's a promise that if you do that, it's a promise from God. He'll make your path straight. He will guide you. He will direct you. James 1:5 says this, if you want to know what God wants you to do, it's a living Bible. If you want to know what God wants you to do, just ask Him and He'll gladly tell you. For He's always ready to give a generous supply of wisdom to all who ask. And these times are unique days. They're changing every week and we're feeling like we can't even make plans, like we're treading water. Our goals, it's hard to make goals right now. Even as I'm thinking about it, it's hard to figure out what to do, what not to do. We're trying to get out. And here's my advice. Control what you can control and then trust God for the rest. Because there's things that will change and you can't control that. There are things that are going to happen, you can't control that. But you make your decisions under the hand of God. Involve Him in the planning. Make sure that He has the opportunity to say no to you. That you're not so emotionally invested or mentally invested that if God sort of puts the halt on you, you're not willing to do it. Make sure that He gets... And the only way you do that is you got to involve Him in the beginning. Because, and I say this to young men and young women, like, make sure you figure it out before you give your heart away to somebody else. Because the moment you give your heart away to somebody else, to try to go back and hear the voice of God about that person, it makes it very difficult. So before you give your heart away to somebody else, you need to pray. Invite people of wisdom into that decision. And I think that's the best way to do it because you need to involve God in your spiritual growth, in your family, in your ministry, in your finances. In this uncertain world, having God on your side is the best thing you can do for your future. Mistake number two is this. And these guys says, we presume that we're going to have tomorrow. Why? You don't even know what will happen tomorrow, he says in James. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. It's the concept, the Greek concept is, as you breathe on a mirror, you know what I'm talking about? And all of a sudden you see it and then it just disappears. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes, all such boasting is evil. When I first came to faith, I was in Arkansas in the hills. And there was one of the leaders in our church literally took this scripture and said it all the time. And say, hey, are you going to come over? And he's like, if it's the Lord's will. You would just say that, right? I don't know about tomorrow. Just if it's the Lord's will. Or we would say, if the Lord's will and the creek don't rise, because you always had to go across water. And if the creek got up, you couldn't go anywhere, right? And so all the time, right? So it'd be like, are you coming over to the Super Bowl party? Like, well, if it's the Lord's will. I'm like, yeah, but I don't know how much nacho cheese to buy. You know what I mean? I got to have a number. And if you don't know, then no mini chimichangas and little smokies for you. You're just going to have to, because I can't plan on you being there. But it was frustrating at times because you just never knew. He just said, if the Lord's will. But he literally thought that way, that I'm not guaranteed tomorrow. And if God gives me tomorrow, then I'll probably be there. I need to know because I love control. Besides, the Lord willing. Now I want you to know this verse that I read. There are two reasons we shouldn't assume that we have a lot of time. Number one, the future is uncertain. You don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow, much less next week or month. None of us can predict what will happen in 365 days. The day before 9/11 crisis, nobody knew the next day was going to be that way. The day before Katrina hit, nobody knew that that was going to be to that extent. It changed the world. It changed our world. The week before COVID came to our nation, nobody really thought it would take the impact that it did in our life. You know, if you write out the word life, L-I-F-E, right in the middle is if. And life can be iffy at times. We're not sure. And so the only thing that's certain in this life is the truth of God's word, the consistency of God's love. That is true. The dependability of God's goodness, the reliability of God's promise. And the Bible says this, and it's, I believe it, we will face death, all of us, and we will face eternity. If we believe the scriptures, that we know for sure. When I first came to faith too, we sang a lot of songs about heaven, like proclaiming about heaven, like we can't wait to get to heaven. And there was an understanding this life is just a journey. We need to live it well. And one day, in light of eternity, it's just a drop in the it's just a breathing on a mirror compared to eternity. It comes and it goes. The solution to this problem is to live one day at a time and make it count. Matthew 6:34 says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble. Amen, amen. On its own, right? Proverbs 27:1 says, don't brashly announce what you're going to do tomorrow. You don't know the first thing about tomorrow. So live for today. I'm going to give you a trick on never missing the will of God. Some of you have heard me say this before. When we think of God's will for our lives, we're always thinking future. Where should I live? What should I do in ministry? Who should I marry? What job should I pursue? What's my career? What if we lived for God's will each day? And in the AM, when we woke up, we were grateful for being another day. God, you gave me another day. Help me to hear your voice, to obey your word, and to show your love. And then when we went to sleep that night, go, God, thank you for this day. I listened well, I obeyed diligently, and I loved completely. And if you could start each day that way and you could end that day each way, guess what? You're never going to miss the will of God for your future. He will speak clearly. You will hear him definitively. Listen to these two scriptures. Psalm 118, 24. Today is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I say that a lot. I go, Lord, this is the day you've made. I wake up and go, thank you for the day you made. Let me rejoice and be glad in it. And then Micah 6:8. He has shown you, a mortal, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. See, that's just, isn't that easy? If you do that every day, act justly, do the right thing by people, you know, treat people right, love mercy, give a lot of grace and mercy to yourself and to other people, and to walk humbly. That is the answer to living a life of following after Jesus. The third mistake that people make when it comes to the future is we put off doing right and good. James 4:17, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it's sin for them. It's delaying. It's a sin of procrastination. It destroys your potential. It wastes your life. It misuses your time. You've given golden opportunities, and you miss out on them that God gives you. So James says, remember, anytime you know the right and good thing to do and then you don't do it, then you sin. You know you can sin by doing nothing. They call it, there's sins of commission and sins of omission. Sins of commission is, you know, don't lie, don't cheat, don't lust, obey the word, it's all right here, don't do these things. Sin of omission is, I won't speak, I won't act, I won't love, I won't share. And so James says, that when we know to do the good and we don't do it, sin of omission, it's a sin. He uses the word remember, and I think the reason he uses the word remember It's because we forget that all the time, that we need to be actively doing what is right. And it's easy to think of yourselves in the midst of a situation, a pandemic. It's easy to think and justify selfishness. And it's easy to justify keeping your money and not being a giving person. And so there's three questions to ask yourself when it comes to this in sin of omission. What do you know God wants you to do? I want you to ask this question. What do you know that God wants you to do, but you're still putting it off? Maybe it's to reconcile with somebody. Maybe it's to forgive somebody. Maybe it's to give your life to Christ. And if you've never done that, today would be a good day. It would be a super Sunday for you. In fact, I know there are people watching, other people here. I just want to lead us in a prayer of salvation. Would you join me in that? So, Father, I thank you that you gave your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not die but have eternal life. That you gave Jesus for my sins so that I might be holy and righteous in your life. And today, I receive that gift. I'm sorry for living for myself. I want to follow after you. So today I receive your salvation, Jesus, and I thank you for that. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer, you got to let somebody know about that. This is a new life for you. And we would love to know about that as well. What do you know that God wants you to do that you've been putting off? What is my next step? This is question number two I'm going to ask you. What is my next step in obedience that I haven't done? Maybe it's being baptized. We'd love to have you be water baptized here. Maybe it's giving consistently. Maybe it's getting involved in a ministry. Maybe you've been holding off. But delayed obedience is disobedience. Delayed obedience is disobedience. And then the last question I want you to ask, what excuse have you been using to not do what you need to do? Well, one of these days, well, after COVID, it's a sin of omission. And that's one of the mistakes that we make. Here's the solution to that. When you can, when you can, be when you can be the solution. 1 John 2:3-6, this is the New Living Translation. And we can be sure that we know him if we obey his commands. If someone claims, I know God, but doesn't obey God's commands, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. This is how we know we are living in him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. I tell people one of the reasons I love this series of Chosen so much, because it gives Jesus, he's always walking in the moment. And I love that. When he's with the children, he plays with the children. He teaches the children. He even makes toys for the children. He's in the moment. When he walks up to the leper, and the leper said, if you are willing, you can make me whole. And Jesus replies, I am willing. He's in the moment with Mary and where she's at. And he's in the moment everywhere he goes. He is, for that person, showing them the heart of the Father, wherever they're at, for that person. There's no formula. It's just being in the moment, expressing the Father's heart that can individually touch each person. And so when you can be the solution for somebody's life, be the solution for somebody's life, no matter where they're at. That's when you live like Jesus lived. If you have the opportunity to be the solution, you know there's things you don't have to pray about. There's just are. Being good, doing right, loving people, helping when you can. The fourth problem that people have when we talk about the future, mistake, is we think we can harvest unplanted seeds. Think about that for a second. Galatians 6:7, do not be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You'll always harvest what you plant in the good and the bad. I was talking to someone recently, and we were talking about, it's a little political, but forgive me. We're talking about the forgiveness of school debt. You know, is it going to be $10,000? Is it going to be $50,000? And they have school debt. And they said to me, I think what we should own up to what we borrowed. We knew what we were doing. And this is somebody with debt, and they go, I would rather them just knock the percentage down because it's way out of control compared to, like, if they want to help me, just knock that down so they don't make as much off of me, but I need to pay it back. And I thought, well, problem with our world today is there's sort of this sense of entitlement that we get to sort of how get a harvest of seeds we never planted. You know, I go to an investment firm one day and say to them, you know what? I never paid into a 401k. I thought about it. I wanted to do that, but you give me money now and see how that works. Like, you know what? I thought about it. I wanted to do it. I'm retired now. Would you give me a couple grand a month? And they're going to say, no way. You never invested into this. It's the law of the universe that when you give, you receive. It happens in nature. It happens everywhere. I got a little greenhouse recently. I sort of like my garden. And the reason I got a greenhouse is because I want to pick different type of seeds. Because you go to the places you can buy, Home Depot, or Lowe's, whatever, they just have like one or two types of tomatoes. I wanted to pick them, different ones. And so I got this greenhouse so I could put the seeds in. And the tomato seeds are so amazing to me because they're just so small. But if you get a tomato plant that grows, you can feed yourself for a long time off of that one little seed. It happens everywhere in the universe. You plant, you receive. All the time. It's like gravity. Every time. It's found in other religions even. They talk about this concept that God created. And when you think you don't reap what you harvest, you're making a mockery of the justice of God. Think about that. God, your word isn't true. You said it, but you didn't mean it. I can do whatever I want, and you're not going to hold me accountable for that. Parents know this well. If you set rules for your kids and consequences, and then they always get away and they don't have anything happen to them, guess what happens? They eventually don't believe you when you say anything. They won't respect you when you say anything. And then eventually they won't even obey you. And the problem is the rules and the laws of God are meant to protect us. And if you say to your child, hey, don't cross the street or else, and you don't ever follow that up, the danger of them running across the street is way more than any discipline you can give them. And so it's the law of God that you always reap what you sow. The story of Joseph is a great story. And because Joseph was thrown into a well, sold into slavery, put into prison, and every time wherever he went, he just sowed righteousness. He sowed faith. You know what I mean? He was a righteous guy. Until one day he gets to where he's way up there in the government and he has this dream that they're going to have 7 years of plenty and 7 years of drought. So he comes up with the plan to take the 7 years and stockpile it away, right, for the years that are not going to be great. And it saves his whole family because he thought this way. Entire family got saved. All of the people the day that he ruled over was saved because he thought this way. And so you don't barter with God when you haven't sown any seeds. You don't get in a situation and go, God, if you will one day save me, if you save me right now, one day I'll do this. And you're making a mockery, really, of the justice of God, that he has set forth principles and laws and rules. So when you sow into those and you do well, you harvest in the hard times. See, those of you who have been sowing financially and you've been giving to God and you've been trusting God and you've been sowing righteously, he always comes through you during the times of the pandemic. And I believe we in our church, if you stick around, we always give 10% of everything that we have come in to missions. And I believe with all my heart that God has protected us and helped us through this time. One of them, which is really interesting, I went out. Anybody get the West Valley View? I might have told you about this. I don't remember. The West Valley View is a paper you get out here. I take it and I take it right to the recycle and I drop it in. I don't even read it, right? No, who reads the West Valley View? So I get it and I'm on my way to dropping it off. I thought I'll just thump through it. And all of a sudden I see, right before I get to the trash can, it says thousands of dollars unclaimed by businesses in the West Valley. And I go, what? So I open it up and look at him, go, whoa, hello. And so I give it to Lori, who's our executive assistant. She goes and follows up, and we got a grant for $25,000 just because I looked at the West Valley View. So every week I'm like, it's like the lottery to me. Like, I'm like, you know what I mean? What's in there today, God? I never look at the paper, and on my way to the trash can, I think God just opened it up right there and said, hey, by the way, there's a grant out there for you, and they want to give you some money. I'm like, well, we'll take it. And they sent us this amazing letter saying, thank you for what you do and blessing and for the West Valley, and may this money help you in the future continue to do what you do. And four solutions we have when faith is when the future is uncertain. We invite God into our planning. We live one day at a time and make that day count. And when you can, be the solution to whatever problems in front of you. And fourth, make wise investments today. That's the answer for the harvest in the future. And I know this is a troubled, confusing time, and we're all looking for answers, and we all want to know the future. But we know the one who does know. We know the one who will guide us. We know the one that can protect us. We know the one that's going to bring us to heaven one day. And you can be sure of this one thing, that if you sow into the kingdom, if you follow and obey the word in the midst of a crisis, he will keep you, the scripture says, until the day of Jesus Christ. That's the promise of God. And so my prayer is that we will become people of faith. This whole series in James really has been this. We should be living differently than everybody out there who doesn't know Jesus. And even in uncertainty, and not because of cockiness, remember, walk humbly before you, God. It's just a calm assurance that we do know the one. And if we love justice and we love mercy and we walk humbly, he'll take us there and he'll surround us on the right and the left, before and behind, and that will be the blessing of God. Let's stand. We're going to have our worship team come forward. I want to pray for you. I hope this series in James has touched your life like it's touched mine. As I've told you before, I wrestle with every scripture as I'm preparing it and asking God to touch me first, to speak to me first. And so let's pray together that God will take whatever's been planted in our hearts and really establish it so it will grow into a harvest of righteousness. So Father, thank you that your word is true, that these weren't men that just were making things up. You breathed on this. And they wrote your words. And so in the midst of this situation, we can have faith when we don't know what tomorrow is going to look like, because you are our God and we are your people. And we're your children. And you don't let your children just rock astray. You guide and direct and love them. So we thank you for that today, that we can be assured that regardless of what happens tomorrow, you're with us and for us. Thank you, Father, for that assurance. We pray that in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thank you for listening to our sermon. If you want to know more about us, you can find us at streamschurch.org or on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And if you enjoyed this content, subscribe and leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts. Till next time, have a great week.